Mere conservatism.
David Perry, and this is Cleve Walker, and this is Mere Conservatism. Hey, David, how you doing, man?
Hey, Cleve, I am doing great. It's awesome to talk to you.
It is. It's been a while. It's been a bit. So it's nice to get back in the saddle with our Mere Conservatism podcast, and a lot has happened, and I got to get your reaction on some things.
Cleve, I can't wait to figure out what it is you'd like to talk about today, because you know, there is so much going on and so many different angles that we could take on things, and so it's always interesting, especially when we've had a little bit of a layoff, to see what it is that's on your mind. Uh-huh. You know, the way we've always done this podcast is we sort of just had, this is water cooler talk. We just talk about kind of what's on our minds and what our perspective is, and so I'm really interested to see what has your attention in this last week.
All right. Well, I'm glad you said that, because one of the things, and this particular item that I'm going to spring on you right now, David, I think is an indication that Donald Trump will win the presidency. And I don't say that by prophesying, because I don't want to put that on me, but I'm saying if all things remain as they are, let's put it that way, and if something totally out of left field doesn't happen, Donald Trump will regain the presidency. Here's just one reason why. The NYPD's Sergeants Benevolent Association sent a letter that called out the far-left Democratic leaders in New York City for their anti-police and soft-on-crime policies, and telling them in that letter, David, stay away from the funeral of the slain officer Jonathan Diller. You remember him? He's the 31-year-old dad who died Monday after a violent ex-con who had 21 prior arrests, by the way, shot him in the stomach as the police approached the car where the suspect was sitting in the passenger seat. Anyway, the president of that organization, his name is Vincent, he wrote a letter to union members. He said, I'm sure that many elected officials will try to attend this funeral, and then they'll shed a few crocodile tears and then prominently seat themselves for a good photo op. And he said, the sad reality is we don't want them here. Meanwhile, David, and here's why I get your opinion on what's happening. Meanwhile, that same union invited Trump to come. They wanted Trump to be there. And afterwards, now Trump did, he did honor the slain officer at the event. Now, he was invited. Biden was not. Biden was there, remember, in that glitzy fundraising event with him and former presidents on hand, and they raised more than $25 million. So he was actually there, but they didn't want the Dems or the Biden. So do you get a feel for what's happening with this situation and know why I'm thinking, hey, this is what's going to determine the presidency?
Well, there's zero chance that Donald Trump wins the state of New York.
Right.
But what you're pointing out is a certain constituency that if that kind of feeling is true in Pennsylvania, and that kind of feeling is true in Wisconsin and several other swing states, what you're saying is that Trump is going to, that's going to give Trump a margin where he can win those swing states.
Now, yes.
New York is not a swing state,
no.
But if the pro law enforcement sentiment is strongly behind Donald Trump, that's a constituency, and that's a movement that could shift those swing states and definitely go his way. Now, by the way, Cleve, he's leading in the polling in all those swing states anyway.
Right.
But yes, that's one of those things where turnout could definitely change the math if there are lots of law enforcement and people who care about law and order, like me. I'm not law enforcement, but I certainly care about the fact that criminals are being let out of prison or not arrested at all, let out on cashless bail and all this stuff, because it puts my family at risk.
Right.
And so people who care about that kind of thing, if they are going to break Donald Trump's way, then that is that's a good thing for Donald Trump. Not only that, Cleve, but not people like me, but people like my wife, who is a suburban mom. That is the group of people that Trump probably struggles the most with as far as getting them in mass to vote for him. If they see that Trump is going to promote law and order and that their families are in danger because of the policies of the Democrats,
yeah,
a lot of these suburban moms may break Republican as well. And so it's, yeah, you're right. It's a good sign for Republicans and for Donald Trump, too, in the fall. I hope that it does come to fruition that way.
You know, but see, here's the thing, and I agree with you 100%, particularly because you're right, Donald Trump does not normally have a strong appeal with the suburban moms, but you start making people feel like their families are in danger. And then you get a situation like this, David, where you have juxtaposed Biden with the rich and beautiful crowd basically celebrating in the same city at the same time of this situation, with, you know, this funeral. And he's there with Obama and Clinton, and they're raising millions and millions of dollars. And Trump is with this grieving family and the police union and the people there. I mean, you couldn't pay to get that set up any better. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, politically, the visual of that is striking. It certainly is. And Trump, for the fact that he's a billionaire playboy, despite that, he does have a vibe. He does have an aura as a man of the people, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden, who's supposed to be, you know, Joe from Scranton, he does not.
No, he doesn't.
He really doesn't have that vibe.
Joe was supposed to be the sympathizer in chief. Joe, you know, the regular guy, the one who could identify with everybody, but he's shown himself to be just as obtuse and out of touch as the glitzy crowd that supports, you know, progressive and liberal causes. So anyway, that's just a tremendous sign. Another sign, David, and this is that $454 million bond that they had Trump on, you know what happened there. And because, you know, Letitia James, the attorney general, she was just waiting to seize the assets of Donald Trump and get a photo op with her padlocking his property or something.
Yeah.
And then that last minute deal where they changed the appeals court, slashed the bond by 60%, saying all Trump had to pay was $175 million, although that sounds weird to say only $175 million, but it was less than nearly, you know, half a billion. And so Trump can do that with cash, by the way. And so that's a major break there for Trump as well.
The amount that they lowered it to is still outrageous.
Of course.
But this, again, this is the, if I understand it correctly, this is the bond. And so he ought to be able to get that back. I don't know that he is doing that with cash. I know he said that, but that's not really the way a bond works. The point is, it's something that he's going to be able to have so that he can then appeal the ruling. So all this was, this whole thing with the bond was done specifically so that he could appeal the ruling to begin with. They wouldn't let him appeal unless he had the fine
right
secured.
Yes.
Which is also ridiculous. But luckily they knocked that down, so now he can appeal the original ruling. The whole thing, Cleve, I know I keep saying the word outrageous and ridiculous. It's so silly.
Yeah.
The whole thing is dumb. And if this thing is not struck down, it's just illegitimate. It really ought to be struck down. Hopefully it will be. It's so petty and stupid. But that is most of what the Democrats have right now. Their playbook is all petty and stupid. They're throwing stuff at the wall, trying to get Trump. They will pull out all stops to get him.
Sure, but what this does though, it again robs them of a photo op, because Trump could not get enough to match that nearly $500 billion, and it has been said that the judge, his name is Arthur Engoron, I believe his name, that they he had enough of Trump's records there in New York to know how much it would take to make it nearly impossible for Trump to raise that bond. So what they were wanting was a photo op. Again, they were wanting to be able to march to Trump Tower or wherever and just basically padlock it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they value.
Yeah.
And they were robbed of that. And it's another thing that did not happen as they were trying to make it articulated. It's the same thing. Remember when they thought they had Trump shamed when he went down to the police office there in Georgia, and yet that famous photo came out and it backfired.
Funny because they keep thinking they got him.
Right.
Isn't it funny how often they do this stuff? They think they've got him. And he is like a phoenix rising from the ashes. It's crazy. Not only did the bond that he owed get reduced to a manageable $170 million, but he also is now looking like his net worth is about to go up by, what was it, $3 billion because of his ownership stake in Truth Social? That crazy situation as well. So
yeah, it went public. Yeah,
man, they keep thinking that they've got him, and somehow he keeps just wriggling out of their grasp.
It's amazing. And when that keeps happening, okay, it begins to give the appearance that far from being just embattled, because a while back Trump did look embattled, really, and surrounded, everything happening all at once, and looked like he was off balance and would not be able to actually be a candidate as far as just being able to go out there and campaign. And now everything that seems to be happening, in my humble opinion, David, is just made to order for his campaign to advance and to get stronger. And now all the momentum, besides the momentum in the polls, all the momentum and all these things they're attacking him with. I mean, look at the situation in your neck of the woods and over there in Atlanta with the situation there, the prosecutor and that situation looks like it's really just falling apart.
Yeah, that's ugly. The stuff in Atlanta is ugly too. What's happening is that all this lawfare against Trump is not working as far as making people sour on Donald Trump. Most people don't really seem to care that much, which tells me that pretty much everybody knows exactly what it is, which is just fake witch hunt, to use a term that Trump likes to use, to get him. That's why it's there. On the other hand, the other choice you got is a 80-year-old who is clearly diminished and things are not going well.
Not at all.
In the country. And Trump is really, look, you know that I'm not the biggest fan of his, and I don't think he's the best campaigner in the world. However, he is set up for victory here because of, in large part, because of who he's running against. The incompetence of Joe Biden is jaw-dropping. Trump has an advantage here that he has been president before, and things were going pretty well for most of it outside of the pandemic. 2020 was awful. Outside of that, things went pretty well. So, I mean, it's set up good for him. What I hope is that Trump won't do anything to mess it up. that he's not going to go too crazy, which he can do sometimes. The other issue possible is that the Democrats successfully rig the election to the point where they can still win. Now they are rigging it. All this lawfare and stuff that we're talking about is them. This is them rigging the election. This is obviously what they're doing. So far, they haven't been able to rig it to the level they did in 2020 with changing election rules and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff has settled down. But we still have a little bit of time come up with some schemes, so it's something to keep an eye on.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you know they're going to try something, okay? And now, I'll be quite honest with you, a lot of folks, I mean, you and I and some others were saying this already, but a lot of folks realize that apparently they will stop at nothing to try to remain in office. They will stop at nothing to try to retain power. So the question is, will they try something even more outrageous? It's not even a question. The it's yes, they will. Okay, they will try. Now, another thing that's blowing up in their faces, but it's also election interference, by the way, is the border situation. Okay, that situation. You know, the beautiful thing about it is it can no longer be hidden. Remember how long the major networks and media didn't even cover it, so that the only people who really knew how outrageous things had gotten at the southern border were those who were watching conservative alternatives or other things. But now the mainstream media cannot hide it. It's happening in major metropolitan areas. It's destroying bastions in the Democrat territory. And so even that is backfiring on them. But the thing I want you to be aware of, again, it's now evident to anybody but somebody who does not want to see it, that all of the border is about is getting Democrat votes in this country as quickly as they can to change the demographics, to change states that are purple into blue by getting these people who are intended to be voters. That's what they're intended to be. They're intended to be not just voters, but Democrat voters. So that's obvious as well. But even that, I think, is backfiring on them because, you know, their own constituencies, traditional constituencies like in the black urban sections, all of them are being hurt big time by the border situation. So I think even that has backfired against them.
Well, I think you're basically right, I mean, about the purpose. And obviously you're correct that it's a really big issue. In fact, I think that by polling, it's the number one issue for voters. It's also an issue that Joe Biden is deep underwater on. People do not approve of his handling of the border. So if that's the number one issue, and Joe Biden has really, really bad approval ratings on that issue, that's not good for him. Trump, a lot of people get upset by Trump's, forced way that he talks about immigration. I actually don't think that it's that bad, but the people that are sensitive to that think maybe he speaks a little coarsely about it. However, they know that it's an issue.
And they be quite honest with you, they would speak coarsely about it, many of them too. Now I'm just telling you, I think
that's true. A lot of sentiments are changing about the way it's spoken about. Joe Biden is underwater on that issue and every issue that is important to people. The last time we talked, I may have mentioned this. I think that the only issue that he had that he was not underwater on was Israel at that time, but I'm not sure that that's the case now because the way that they are pressuring Israel to do a ceasefire against a terrorist organization, I don't think a lot of people like that either.
You're right. Biden is between a rock and a hard place, though. Biden wants to pretend that he is the strong, staunch ally of Israel that America has always been, but at the same time, he's got a constituency consisting of Palestinian lovers and those who are anti-Israel. And they're telling him, we're not going to vote if you don't do something to show that you are against Israel enough to basically let Hamas win. So he's caught between battling constituencies there. And so there's no way for him out of it, to tell you the truth, but to reveal his true colors, which I believe the true colors of Democrats is that they are anti-Israel. They might be pro-Jewish, but they're anti-Israel as a state, as a nation. And so that's coming out. They can't hide it anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. The left, Biden, is really dependent on a coalition of people that includes, in large part, people who like Hamas.
Right.
There are some people, and they're also in some very key states like Minnesota and Michigan, and Wisconsin, and so he is stuck. He's a slave to the radical left because that's most of the party these days.
That's right. I mean, you're right.
That's most of them. They really have a lot of power in the Democratic Party. So he is in trouble there because the swing voters, by the way, I'm not sure if you know this, but I feel like I'm talking a lot about polls today. So if you want me to stop, just tell me. But surveys and polling suggests that there are more conservatives than there are liberals.
What?
And that there are many more moderates or people in the middle, swing voters, you might call them, than there are conservatives and liberals put together.
Okay.
So, in other words, the swing voters might be the ones who are Democrats. They voted for Obama. They voted for Joe Biden, even. But they don't like the DEI craziness. They don't like the trans craziness. They don't like the terrible foreign policy in Israel because it's crazy.
Absolutely.
The far left like. But so the reason I bring that up is because these elections really are won based on how these swing voters break, how they decide to vote when they walk into the booth. It's largely based on that. And Joe Biden is radical. He just is. And so he's more likely to lose these moderate voters than Donald Trump is, because Donald Trump might talk gruff and crass, but Donald Trump's policies are actually fairly moderate, to be honest with you. In fact, some of them are too moderate for me, which we've talked about before, but that's kind of where he is on a lot of this stuff. So I say all that to say, you know, Biden is at the mercy of the radical left on his that is his base, and that might be what does him in.
Well, you're saying something right now that I said at the very beginning, and it's simply this. The progressives, I mean the really radical progressives, okay, were never the majority. Despite the results of the election, they were never in the majority. All they had was the bigger microphone. They had the megaphone of mainstream media, so that they really appeared, they were outsized of really what they are. You know what I'm saying? What we thought. A lot of folks thought the country literally was becoming radicalized and the country was becoming hyper-progressives. But we're finding out that's not the case. I think those polls you're talking about are right. It's just that the hyper-progressives and the radicals had gotten the reins of the media, both the media as far as the networks are concerned and even social media. And so they had an outsized voice for the size that they really were. And I think now that's coming into focus.
Yeah, I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think that far left group of people self-identifying, I think it's less than 20%. It's a pretty small number of people who are that radical left wing and self-identify that way. And that is those are the people that Joe Biden is that like Joe Biden. Those are the people that like him. Now, there's a lot of people that will still vote for Joe Biden because they don't like Trump that much. But there is a lot of people that will just vote for the person they think is less crazy.
And that is why the Democrats are just scared out of their wits about a third party run by Kennedy and some others who are going to siphon off a few more points from them. Because, you know what I'm saying? It's like you've given people who can't vote for Trump an option. They can vote for a Kennedy, but they won't be voting for Biden. So, right now the Democrats are livid, and they're really mad, and expect them to do something pretty significant to cut the legs out from under Kennedy and other third-party campaign-type people, because that's going to hurt Joe Biden.
Well, I think you're right, and I got more polls for you, Cleve. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
The national polling suggests that third-party candidates, i.e. not a Republican and not a Democrat, are getting right now about 13% of the vote.
Whoa.
That's pretty significant. Now, RFK accounts for 10% of that, and I think that's low for him. I think that RFK has a lot of room in this campaign to do better than 10%.
Wow.
You also have Stein and you also have Cornel West. They're probably going to stay at the 1% to 2% range. But I think that RFK really has a chance to take some more mainstream votes away from one of the two major candidates I bet 5-1 he'll take those votes from Joe Biden more than he will Donald Trump.
Definitely. No, I agree with you 100%. And that's why they hate him so much. And believe me, do not be surprised if you don't see them use some of these vast millions they're getting to really do something to hurt Kennedy and get him out of there.
He's getting 10% right now in polling. If he finds a way to get 15% of the vote, Joe Biden is going to get destroyed in the Electoral College. He's going to get wiped out.
Well, like I said, they're panicking. So somebody over there actually believes what you're saying is true, because they're panicking right now about his candidacy and even another candidate in there who also is going to draw votes not away from Trump, but away from the progressives, away from Biden. Because you said the progressives love Biden. They don't like him personally because they don't really believe he's one of them, but they believe that he will advance their policies out of main force from them. So that's what they think about with Biden. They got an empty suit that will do anything they say, but he's not really one of them. I don't think he's really one of anything, to be quite honest with you. But that's just me. Real quickly, one thing. That recent deadly terrorist attack in Moscow has brought renewed attention to ISIS, or it's better known as ISIS-K, terrorist organization that is not only against European nations in the U.S., but apparently Russia as well. And so I bring them up only because they attacked and killed more than 130 people and injured 180. And when they were caught, and they were caught, I don't know if you saw any of the video. I know you don't watch a lot of news on TV, but they looked pretty banged up. As a matter of fact, one of them was tortured because Moscow is not America, okay? They have a different way of treating terrorists when they're caught. And I thought that was kind of instructive.
Well, yeah, a bad, bad terrorist attack. A lot of conspiracies going on about that. Some people have even said that the United States greenlit that attack.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Which is crazy. I do think that this is the kind of thing that Putin can use to solidify support for himself in his country.
Right.
And I think he's going to do that.
Yeah, I don't believe in conspiracies, but if I did, I would say, no, Putin's behind this attack for just that reason. But no, that didn't happen. But I just found it instructive, again, the difference between, ISIS, by the way, which is now back as a result of Biden's weak policies, they're back big time. So my main point was this. You got to know, thanks to Biden's open border policies, you got to know we have those elements in our nation as well. And you got to know they probably have similar plans for us.
Unfortunately, you're right. The rise of ISIS-K is helped along quite a bit by the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. That was, 3 years ago? And I said at the time that was the end of the Biden presidency. That was when the honeymoon period was over. His popularity took a hit, and it has never recovered. And we're seeing some of the bad results of that with these terrorist organizations cropping back up.
Yeah, again, an example of the weakness of the Biden administration, and more making Trump look like the needed alternative that he really is. A great discussion, David. Man, I know we can go on. Going to have to wind it up here. But folks, if they want to hear it again, can always catch it where.
Yeah, find us on Facebook. You can like our page. We post the podcast there. Best place to hear it is on Spotify, or you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. Awesome way to listen.
Anyway, a little good news to get you understanding that this is not over with yet, as I always like to say. And if things continue heading this way, it's looking worse and worse for Biden and his progressive allies, and better for those of us who are believing for maybe one more chance of sanity returning to Washington. But we shall see. I'm Cleve Walker, and that was David Perry on the phone. And this has been another edition of Mere Conservatism. Keep the faith. It's not over with yet.